Hello, bowlers. Welcome back to our latest episode of Bowlers in Pajamas. January is over, so is the transfer window. Lots of signings and lots of sellings went on. There were some teams who were really happy and were working on in the transfer window and were really active. Some teams who we were expecting them to buy certain players or sell certain players have literally failed miserably. And there's lots to talk about of incomings and outgoings of the Jan transfer market, and it could be the turning point of the season actually for some clubs, and especially Newcastle United, who recently got a lot of money in that after their takeover by the Saudi owners. So, and they have had some good incomings coming in. So let's talk about it. We'll start off with Newcastle itself, as we have taken out the name. Nihar, what do you think after the Saudi takeover? They have got some good, decent players. They've got Matt Target. They've got Kieran Trippier, who's started to perform well. What do you think?
Well, I guess they did very good enough business to stay up, but so did the other bottom five teams. But I think Newcastle did the best business of all the relegation lying teams up until now. Well, they are the highest spenders in the January transfer window. But really, man, I mean, I think they can actually finish in top 15 at least if they can try properly, because all the I mean they have already the good experience, good players. I think they got five players, and I think all are decent enough to play in any mid-table Premier League team. So, well, appreciating them there, because imagine the Saudi takeover happened and they get relegated. It would be embarrassing in a way. Well, at least they won't. That won't happen. And just expect Newcastle to go, big and big from this season to next season. I mean, in 10 years' time, we can see a generational talent in his prime can play for them. Saying that. It's always been his dream to represent Newcastle or something.
Oh, they got Chris Wood from 33 million pounds, and they got Bruno Guimarães, who's supposed to be a very, very talented midfielder, from Brazil, I guess. And he also was costing around 40, 44 million. And they got Matt Target from Aston Villa on a 6-month loan. Pretty interesting thing from them. I mean, they were expected to make signings, and they were not approaching the transfer market at the first half of the market when it opened, and we were thinking like, oh, they are wasting, and they're already in the relegation zone, and already they are starting making a difference, because Kieran Trippier is having an instant impact. He knows the Premier League in and out. He's already the player of the month for Newcastle. As soon as he joined them, he already provided two, three assists and scored a goal too. So yeah, it's a good start for them. I mean, if they save themselves from relegation and stay up in the Premier League for next season, and they will have some really, really good spendings for the summer, because I am 100% sure they are going to offload a bunch lot of players and buy some good talented players. So it's a
Yeah, see, that's
good
the
watch out
point.
for them if they stay in the Premier League. Yep.
I think that's the point. They will develop eventually. As people think, getting rich owners doesn't mean an instant success. We have seen how it worked with PSG and City. They were far distant from the teams they are now, but now they are beef. Well, that's at least about Man City, but I'm not going to talk about PSG here. So, Gian, just conclude the entire window here. So, who do you think the three losers and three winners from this window are? We'll go with the clubs.
For me, winners are, Everton for me, because they've got Tony Van de Beek on loan. I mean, obviously he's freed from Manchester United's jail of just sitting on the bench the entire time, and he's got freedom and working under Frank Lampard. He's made, like, I hope he'll make some good instant impact. And they signed Dele Alli also from Tottenham, who was also not getting too much of game time. So I guess Everton are a club to watch out for now, and because they were the club who were really struggling, 16th in the Premier League, just having one win in the last 14 games. So that's really, really something to watch out for. I mean, so yeah, one is Everton for me. Second I will go for is I will go for Spurs. Actually, they got Bentancur, they got Luis. Did they get Luis Diaz? No, Liverpool got him.
Sanchez
So
went
yeah.
for Liverpool, man. They got the
Yeah.
Juventus deal.
Yep. So second, so they were initially trying for Morata, but they ended up getting Kulusevski, that guy, I forgot his name, bro, how do you pronounce it, from Juventus, and they also got Bentancur. So yeah, they've got two good midfielders. I mean, they've replaced Dele Alli perfectly, and they've got two good midfielders for me, Spurs. And because even Heung-min Song is not there, and considering Dele Alli also going, so I guess yes, I guess Spurs have done pretty well. And another club which surprised me in transfer market was, I guess, Aston Villa. Maybe they got Lucas Digne and Phil Coutinho, and they were even trying to get Luis Suarez, but I guess that didn't work out. But yeah, they're doing, I think Aston Villa are also doing pretty well. They are going some serious business in the transfer market. They're wanting to develop under Steven Gerrard. I guess you saw how Coutinho made an instant impact coming out from injury, loaning from Barcelona to Villa, and just coming 30 minutes to play against United, they were trailing 0-2 and assisting the goal and scoring the equalizer, having an instant impact. So yeah, it's pretty good, I guess, for me. So these three teams for me.
Well, my three winners are the first one are Juventus, man, no doubt. I mean, everyone were like thinking Juventus, as we know Juventus, man. I mean, they were never actually much active apart from the Ronaldo's transfer. They didn't really break the internet with the transfer, approach they did. But somehow they got Vlahovic for 75 million plus other 10 in bonuses. I mean, that's the brilliant piece of business considering that he is the alternative to Haaland, once. If any club loses out on Haaland in summer, because we all know Haaland might be definitely moving right now, and imagine like City or PSG unable to get him, or even Barcelona or any top club or United who needs a talisman. So I think he is the best second alternative available right now, and Juventus snapped him up like instantly from their rival. But that stings more for Fiorentina. I mean, just they're separated by 3 points, and now Juventus got their main man. And also the one thing that surprised me is they got Zakaria for 5 million, man. I mean, he is such a good midfielder, and all the links were tied to United with him, but somehow United never made any move because I don't know why. They were really waiting for the new manager to come in and take control, I assume. But still, Juventus got his, gem in like at 5 million with Zakaria, and they also offloaded two of their fringe players right now to Spurs. I think their ex-sporting director did a favor to them by taking the two Bentancur and Kulusevski to Spurs, along with him right now. So I think Juventus did a brilliant business, according to me. The second club I would go with is Barcelona. I mean, what a disastrous season they had after losing out on Messi, Griezmann. I mean, that you take
Coutinho as well.
Dembélé's. Yeah, I mean, you take away Griezmann and Messi, and with Dembélé never consistent, you're taking away 75% of goals scored in the last previous from the previous season. And if they did struggle, they scored only two goals in the Champions League group stages. I mean, the problems were evident. I mean, they never scored less than 15 in the last 10 or 13 years, I guess. So yeah, so Barcelona, obviously we know the financial situation they are in, and with not much optimism still. I mean, the things are getting better. I think the one in charge, Matheus Alemany, actually did a wonderful job because he got Dani Alves like literally on the least wage, and he came on a free transfer, obviously. Well, he might not be the player he was once, but still he can contribute, being a legend of the club in dressing room at least, guiding the youngsters, considering there is so much young blood right now in the club. And they got the Ferran Torres for 55 million. People say that it might be like too costly considering the situation there Barcelona is in. Well, that we really can't judge now, but there are flashes of brilliance up until now, however he played. Well, he's a player for the future, so not going to comment on that. And the other transfer, I mean, I'm not pretty optimistic, is Aubameyang. Well, I'm actually on mixed feelings here. Well, Aubameyang is not the player he was once, but still he can be clinical in front of the goal, considering the other two alternatives for the striker position are Luke de Jong and Martin Braithwaite. It's definitely an upgrade for them, but let's see. I mean, even the money involved is very less to him. So the last player they signed is Adama Traore. Well, I think he can use the bulked up version of Usman Dembele, like dribbles, breaking the lines. But yeah, the worrying stat is like he won't score or assist, but he provides the other dimension which other players can't, breaking the opposition's defense line. Well, that's again, well, only Barcelona have Usman Dembele up until now, but with addition of Traoré, I think they at least secured the next 6 months' attack, at least to an extent, at least which will help them sail to the top four. So let's see again in that. And the third best club, according to me, is well, I'm pretty confused here. So which is the club which did actually good? I'm really, I mean, I would
Newcastle,
go with
Newcastle.
no, man, Newcastle is like a necessity, but it's not like the requirement for them. I mean, it's not a major change, but yeah, they did good
As
according to.
Villa
I'll
did
go with
good.
Everton. I would go with Everton because they got Lampard back in, the young blood, young manager, and also the two good players from Premier League, Dele Alli and who is the other guy? I forgot. A good
Donny went a
signing.
bit.
Yeah, Ronny van de Beek, yep, from United. Well, I mean, how, I mean, we have seen how Mason Mount improved immensely under Lampard once. And I think these two youngsters, at least, I don't know, Dele Alli is like old, but still, I mean, the way he looks, the way he acts, he's still a youngster to me. And
And
yeah,
even,
so I
these
think.
they've got a Ashley Cole as well as Lampard's assistant manager, so that's pretty good. The link up is going to be
Yeah,
brilliant over
two of the Chelsea staff
Chelsea
left
legends.
now. So wow. But still, I mean, Lampard is the guy, I guess. I mean, he was. I mean, they criticized him too bad last time around. I think he was ousted from his Chelsea's job, but still, I think he could do better. And the new signings are, way of saying that the club actually trusts the manager. It's same like how Aston Villa is trusting Gerrard right now. I mean, it's pretty good, man, seeing all these legends coming back and managing the other teams, though. But still, it's pretty good seeing them. I mean, eventually we have to see them anyway. But still, getting to, getting the action at the highest level. Well, these three are my winners right now. So, Gian, over to you. Who are your losers of the transfer market?
Arsenal, bro, first of all, they signed fucking no one. That was a meme of that was a meme of the January market. I mean, disastrous. They let Aubameyang go. I mean, they let one of the main strikers go, when he had one of the best FPL players and one of the best strikers they ever had. And now considering even that they are relying upon Alexander Lacazette alone, who is currently and is under a lot of pressure to, start every game and score every game. And they don't have any other proper striker apart from, Martinelli, who plays as a number nine. But yet, a disastrous window to them. They didn't sign anyone this window. I mean, having they have had a seesaw season. And they thought after selling Aubameyang and having real defensive issues also, I thought they would like at least get two, three players on loan in the midfield or say a defense. But they didn't do anything. So they look a clown for them. Second for me will be Man United, of course. They let go of a lot of players, obviously, which helped a lot of the wage bill. They settled the wage bill well, and the wage flow will be a little moderate now. And but they didn't sign a single player which was needed, I guess. Forward was needed up if because this let Anthony Martial, Amad Diallo, and they let go of Franco Pellistri. All these players have gone out on loan. So this let go a lot of players on loans, and they are not enough. Of course, after Mason Greenwood's disaster, whatever happened, and he's also out of squad now. And they are lacking squad depth already, and I thought they should have at least loaned in a guy. They were on for Denis Zakaria, but unfortunately, like I said, Man United are linked with any and every player, but they signed no one. Were and so I guess yeah, Man United for me. I mean, they don't have proper squad depth now. I mean, you could see yesterday after tie. So when Sancho got injured, Bruno got injured, no, they didn't have the proper backup, and now they need to start think they should play, and then how what kind of a squad they should have. So yeah, for me it's Man United. Third team, difficult. I guess I don't know whom to choose. Man City maybe. But I don't think they need a team. They need anyone. But I guess they need a striker still, according to me. Well, okay. I don't know. I just have these two teams in mind right now.
Irony is they got a striker and they loaned him back. Well, that's another story. Well, my
But they are
three
doing
teams
pretty
would
well
be.
without a striker. They are doing pretty well without a striker, though. Lol.
Yeah, lol. Well, the first team I would say, obviously, man, Arsenal. I mean, I really can't find any other team. I mean, Arsenal are the worst right now. I mean, I think they had the biggest summer window last time, and yeah, they actually need a striker now, and they let their ex-captain and the highest, wage earner leave. I think he was earning around 300K per week, and they let him off the wage books now. And they still didn't get anyone. I mean, they're linked to almost everyone, but none of them joined. I don't know why. Well, I mean, it's pathetic from them. I mean, the board shouldn't. I mean, either they should not care, like how United board doesn't care about the playing team or management, or they should give 100% in. They shouldn't do like half of business, right? I mean, it's not good for anyone. The manager can't do anything, and honestly, it's like. It's sad. I mean, honestly, it's sad seeing Arsenal like this. I mean, when they were like trying to push for the top four after 3 years, and somehow they screwed it up with their own hands. So, well, there is no European competition for them, but still, that's not this squad is not enough without any goal scorer. Lacazette is not exactly a proven goal scorer, and he was supposed to give proper competition to Aubameyang, but honestly, he never did. So I guess Arsenal are going to get fucked again. So coming to the second team, I would go with Spurs actually. I mean, it's one of their best teams, I guess. Reason being, well, one good thing they did is like Conte letting go of the players he don't trust, Lo Celso, Dele Alli, and the club's record signing Ndombele to back to Lyon, I guess. But yeah, so I mean, if the outgoings are going, you need some good players coming in. But they really got the deadwood from Juventus, the fringe players from Juventus, and I. Honestly, I don't know how Spurs can. I mean, how Conte will be happy with it, and even the target Luis Diaz, I guess, who joined Liverpool. Funny fact is, like Liverpool, before the Liverpool entered into the race to sign him, Spurs were trying to deal with Porto for him, and Porto were demanding 80 million. And by that time, Porto managed to get the amount to 40. Liverpool simply matched it and got the player. And obviously, Liverpool have a stronger pull than Spurs, I guess. And Klopp obviously having a stronger pull than Conte. So, I guess that sums up there. And even Traore, I mean, that guy gave up 120K per week salary to 15,000 he earns at Barcelona right now. I mean, I don't know what. I mean, yeah, I'm happy that as a Barcelona fan, it's a good thing for us. But still, I don't know, something is wrong with Spurs' way of dealing. But we know Conte how he is. Well, he said he's disappointed with this window, but he didn't really blame anyone, which is quite surprising because of the antics he keep up when he doesn't get he wants. Because I think they really tried, but nothing really worked out in their favor at the end. Well, at least the outgoings worked in the final days, but still the incomings. Well, I think Conte would have seen the effort, but I think the summer window is the best time to invest properly because that's when the clubs will be clear, because mid-season transfers are not always desirable. So yeah, that's Spurs with me, and the third team I would go with is well, honestly, I would go with United only because the rest of the teams don't need much. I mean, Chelsea also they needed a player, but still, honestly, they're doing fine as of now, I assume. But I'm going with United because they didn't really sign a defensive midfielder this window too. I mean, Zakaria was snapped up for 5 million. The resale value will be easily 5 anyway, even if the new manager doesn't approve this signing. And the attack is all good, but their midfield is so pathetic. I mean, they have to rely on Matic if any main player gets injured now. And Matic can't really play consecutive games in a week. I mean, somehow he's not. I don't know why people say that, or I assume because I've seen a lot of posts saying Matic won't play the second game consecutively. I don't know why, Gian. I mean, explain it to me later. But still, as you mentioned, yesterday's injuries to Sancho and Bruno, I hopefully is not pretty much serious because this will keep United in a lot of trouble. Good thing is they let go of Van de Beek, who wants a first team action. And Lingard was supposed to go, but as we came to know that due to the unfortunate incidents that happened outside the court regarding Mason Greenwood, The board decided to keep Lingard in. Well, that doesn't make much of a sense anyway because Lingard plays as a CAM, as Jehan mentioned. Well, but still an attacking player and a guy who actually was phenomenal last season's end. Well, I guess it's pretty pathetic from United only because they didn't sign any defensive midfielder, which they needed. And they are still not in top four, and with Champions League football going to be hectic for them. Well, I really honestly don't see how far this Ronaldo can drag them out. I mean, he already dragged them out of group stages and some embarrassing moments, but still, I think even he is losing his influence or on the pitch under the new manager. I mean, even the circumstances are not much favorable to Ronaldo on the pitch nowadays, sadly. And it's sad to see such a player of the highest caliber struggling. Well, whatever the tactics might be, but I mean, the defensive midfielder should have been the case. So I guess, Jihan, these are my three losers from the transfer window. So let's conclude.
So, Bolish, that was the January transfer window for you. I mean, it's already Feb now, and we know that the clubs who are happy and are relaxed hope they make an impact by the new signings or the departures. And the summer window is not far, and I hope already we've been hearing a lot of rumors about big names. We'll not reveal them right now. And hoping to see what happens in the summer window and hoping for a good second half of the season. So, yeah, take care. See ya.